This week on Chicago Beer Path, Nick and I continue our journey around Chicago and head over to Whirly Ball on Webster Avenue. They have an amazing tap list, and we dive into some Moody Tongue beer and some stuff from Pipeworks. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we are continuing our tour of this wonderful city. And this week we are at Whirly Ball, the new Whirly Ball here on Webster.
Dude, this place is impressive, man. It's really good to be out of the studio again. And we're here with the man behind Whirly Ball, man. Let me make sure I get your title right. Actually, I don't know your title. Adam Elias is here. And Adam, tell the folks what you do here, man.
Hi, guys. My name is Adam Elias, and I kind of do everything around Whirly Ball. I wear a lot of different hats, and I'm part of the group that brought Whirly Ball to Chicago, and we've been here for over 20 years and excited about our new place and getting ready for the colder months and a lot of good beer drinking coming up.
For sure. Where was Whirly Ball before this? Like, what was it? What's the roots of Whirly Ball?
The roots of Whirly Ball. Well, we've been in Chicago. We started in Lombard in 93.
Yeah.
Been in the city and on the old location in Fullerton since 1996. That's when we opened our doors there. And we've been in the northern suburbs for about 11 years, too, in Vernon Hills. Whirly Ball got started by a Mormon family in Salt Lake City. Hmm. The creator, inventor of Whirly Ball saw his son driving around in a golf cart with a hockey stick and hitting a tin can into a garbage can. And
okay.
From there, the game was born. And he took the contact that you may remember going to the carnival where the ceiling had the contact at the top and the bumper cars were driving around. He took that and put it on the bottom and raised the ceiling, gave everybody a scoop, and that created the game on a court.
That's hilarious that it was in Utah, and now I feel like it's such a drinking game.
Well, you know, everybody likes to have a couple drinks and drive around in bumper cars. I mean, you are only going 3 miles an hour at the fast end. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't drink while you're playing.
Not while you're playing, but immediately after or before. Yeah. You know. Quick shot in between games. It happens.
Yeah. Now, Adam, this is an impressive space you guys have here, man. We're looking at 3 floors. Talk a little bit about the space and how long you guys have been here and then what some of the features are here.
Oh, absolutely. We opened here in December of last year.
Yeah.
December 9th of 2014, we opened our doors here for the first time. We actually closed the old location the night before and overnight, within 16 hours, moved everything from the old place to here and opened. So we really wanted to make sure we kept all our guests getting what they needed to, which was their holiday parties in that time of year. So we've been there since then, and we've seen an excellent kickoff to the new location. We've been here about 8-9 months now, and we're getting ready. The weather's finally changing, and we're getting ready to get into the cold months for us.
Oh, crazy. I can't believe it's already been that long. I feel like it just opened. I'm like, oh, I need to check it out, get over to Whirly Ball.
Yeah, I mean, we're thrilled to still be the new kid on the block, but it's shocking how we've already been here for we're on our way to our first year.
Now, why'd you guys move? Was it just like always part of the plan? Like, hey, we're out of room here, we need to expand, and we're looking for another place? Or,
well, we knew we needed to grow, and yeah, we were kind of outgrowing our current spot, but in the same time the city said, well, we want to put the road of Elston here because the congestion where Damon and Fullerton and Elston meet is such a mess. So they said, you know, we'll rework this, and right where your building is, right where the first court of Whirly Ball was, is where Elston is now going to be. So in probably about 6 months you'll see what they're calling the Elston bypass, and because of that we, under eminent domain, had to move.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, crazy. And what I always loved about Whirly Ball, and what's even gotten better over the years, is your beer list.
Thank you.
Like, I remember first going to Whirly Ball, man, it was probably at least almost 10 years ago. It was like when craft beer was kind of starting to pick up. And it's like, all right, guys, what are we going to drink? And then every time I went back, it was like, oh, they got this now and this. And it's been great. And now today we're here and you have, what, 30 beers on tap downstairs?
Yeah, we have 32 drafts at the moment. And then our upstairs bar, we have another 6 drafts as well. Sometimes some guest features, sometimes some things you'll see downstairs too. So we really try to make sure we've got unique and high-end beers as well as things you can find all over town.
Yeah, it's a well-curated list. And then what I like about it is, you know, much like Bangers and Lace or much like some of the cooler bars in town, there's no tap handles. Like, there's no individual branding on the tap handles. All the tap handles are your tap handles. It's a singular tap. And there's this beautiful board with, like, all the all handwritten, you know, beers all over them. Yeah, and you guys, these tap handles look like they're shaped like, I don't know, bowling pins?
Yeah, we... down the street, Rebuild Exchange, actually, our neighbors were kind enough to do those for us. And we worked with them to build bowling pin draft handles for our new signature amusement item of bowling. So we figured between the tap handles and bowling pins, it was the right move for us.
For sure. And then we're drinking some local beer from Moody Tongue here now. You know, we'd like to drink local on Chicago Beer Pass, and this is kind of a fun beer. It's Shocked Apricot.
Yeah, the Shocked Apricot Belgian Pale Ale, I believe, is what it's called.
Okay, this is the first time I've seen this beer. I know, you know, their Lemon Saison and a couple of their other beers, but this is the first time I've seen this one.
Yeah, it's their summer seasonal, and what do you guys think?
It's nice. I guess it wasn't what I was expecting. It's not as like. A punch in the face of apricot, which is nice.
It's pretty subtle.
Yeah, and yeah. I wouldn't expect anything less from Jared over there.
Yeah, you get a nice, sweet, juicy, like, apricot, like, aroma, right? Like, ripe apricots, but then it falls into this really well-made pale ale after that, Belgian pale ale.
Oh. It's culinary inspired. You can't go wrong with that. I love that phrase.
So, yeah, we're gonna keep sipping on this, and, you know, it's been... a couple weeks, Nick, since we were able to even talk about the stuff we've been to. We were over at Miller Coors 2 weeks ago, and then last week we were at Halls and Hood, drinking 24, 25 floors up above the skyline, above Michigan Avenue. That was pretty nice.
Sounds pretty cool.
Have you been to that place, man? The Halls and Hood on Michigan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With their millions of beers on draft.
Yeah.
114 drafts. I'm like, oh, God.
That's a lot of beer over there.
So was there anything you've made it to in this past couple weeks that's you want to mention, let everyone know about, you know, highlight?
Yeah, it's been pretty slow. I did help our friends at Goose Island out. They pour for the Chicago Triathlon, which was a couple weeks ago. So Goose has some of these really cool arrangements where at Millennium Park, they're the only beer distributor on certain nights. And then for the triathlon, they're the exclusive beer of the triathlon. So everyone who ran in the triathlon, I believe it's swim, bike, run, right? And then there's 5,000... participants and then all their friends and family. So there's kind of like this after party when it's over. All the participants get a complimentary beer, but then all the friends and family and anyone else, they pay for beer. So these guys had two beers there. They had 312 and then they had the what they're calling the Autumn Ale, which is a Rambler IPA rebranded, right? It's like a red IPA, like 7%.
Okay.
Red IPA using the hops from that farm they got.
Was there a reason they got rid of that or just they thought this was more appropriate?
Yeah, I think people just like knew. People just like new names, new beers, right? Like, look at what Pipeworks is doing, right? Like, all these different beers.
It's a new beer every time. Right. You hear
every week,
it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Exactly, yeah. So they ran through 10 kegs of the Rambler, or the Autumn Ale, and ran through 25 kegs of 312. This was all in, like, a three-hour period.
Jesus, that's a lot of beer.
Yeah, they handle business at these things, man. This is really intense. I got there at 4:30 in the morning to help those guys out.
Were you drinking at 4:30?
Well, you know, one for you, one for me, you know.
Is that how the day went
it's
for
Sunday,
you?
Sunday, man. It's still Sunday fun day, even though I'm pouring, you know. It was good, though, man. It was really impressive to see, like, how much beer they were running through, man. Like, this town drinks, you know.
What was the hit, or what were the one you were pouring the most of?
Oh, people love the Rambler.
Okay.
People love the Rambler, yeah.
Nice. What did I make it to? A couple weeks ago, I was at made it out to Plank Road Tap Room. Checked that place out. Man, that is far.
Yeah, what is that, like Elgin?
It's Elgin, and it takes a long time to get out there. It's but this is a super cute tap room. It used to be like an old...
So pretty.
It's adorable.
It's really small. It used to be an old general store. Yeah. I think there's like maybe a dozen beers on tap and a huge backyard. They got like bags outside. They were doing a barbecue for half acre. They were like testing stuff for their new kitchen they're doing at the tap room. And yeah, it was a really nice place, and we got Buddy out there, so he invited us out there.
Yeah, Jeremy Teal's out there, man.
Yeah,
yeah. He used to have the Suburbia website, but now he's doing he's like a manager of the bar manager or something out there.
Right. So now you know everyone has to rely on us for suburban news of beer drinking. Now
we'll do what we can. I had a hard time coming to Whirly Ball. You know, I don't know. We'll do what we can.
Well, you don't have a car, so it makes it really hard for you to get anywhere that's not off a train.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
So I made it out there, and then since I was in the suburbs, I was like, you know what? Let's head over to Salamoth.
Okay.
Because they were doing the Conquest bottle release.
Now, Conquest is, I don't know which one that is. What beer is that?
I'm blanking on the style of beer, but it's like for their anniversary. It's all within their family every year. They've released
a
Yeah, it's kind of like an anniversary beer. They brewed this one with the brewery, and they had a big party. There was a lot of people there serving the beer, music. The tap room was happening. And I don't know if you've been out there, but they've expanded quite a bit. Like they've...
Because they're in the... what is it? Like a... what I'm blanking. Oh, like it's kind of like an industrial park, kind of like how Three Floyds is.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You go down the side road, and then boom, there's this industrial park, and then there's this brewery.
Yeah. So it was crazy to roll up, and it's just like, there's all these people where they should not be. And that's always fun. They said they're going to be expanding the tap room.
Yeah.
So that should be happening soon. They also have a canning line that's going to be going in soon, so we'll start to see some Salamoth cans soon.
Really?
Yeah.
I love cans.
Yeah.
Right on. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So got a bottle of this beer. I think we might crack one open here on the episode coming up. So save it. Super nice packaging. They have like a poster inside of it, and they got like a box made for it. So they had like issues with all its printing and making sure like you could put it in your fridge and it didn't like bleed the ink and all this stuff. So just nuts. I think... But those were like my two big things I think I made it to in the past like month.
All right. This will be a good segue. I actually did attend the, it was a Battle of the Brewers with Founders. Founders was here at Whirly Ball. That's the night I met Adam. And they had Redunculus on tap, which is the latest entry into the Backstage series, which is a beautiful like double red IPA, which is really nice. And then they had KBS 2015 on.
Okay. Man, how many times have you drank KBS now? I feel like everyone's like, I can't get my hands on that. And you're like, but I had it again. No problem. Yep, I was there.
Dude, I was surprised to see it here, man. And then when I met Adam, I'm like, dude, you guys at KBS at a Whirly Ball place? People don't think like really awesome beer when you think Whirly Ball. Well, I know I didn't. I just thought, hey, you know, I'll go there and it'll just be like some fun stuff, but nothing major, you know. But you guys, this is kind of what you guys do. You guys are doing this all the time, like just having like really fun stuff like all year long.
Oh yeah, every month we're having a new unique event. We're doing rare, unique craft beers from that brewery and really exploring further in than you'd expect that a Whirly Ball would do. Yeah. I think in some ways we kind of will get on the same level as a Map Room or a Beer Bistro when it comes to unique beers that we will bring in here. If it's carrying Pipeworks, which we do, or it's carrying KBS or BCS or other, maybe even a CBS might be hiding somewhere out there.
Whoa.
Just heads up to those listening. But yeah, we really, really make sure we hit on those uniques.
That's awesome. Anything else you want to mention that you checked out again? You made it over to Howls and Hoods again for food because we didn't have food.
Oh, yeah. The brunch was awesome. Shrimp and grits and brisket. Yeah, just like a kind of free-for-all, like one price, all-you-can-eat kind of thing. I wouldn't advise that, all-you-can-eat. But
no? Why?
It was tasty, though. I'm like, man, this is a bad idea because everything was so good.
Okay.
You know, it was fun, though. It was definitely fun. Good Sunday at Howls and Hoods. Oh, one more thing. I made it out to Mars or Maria's Package Goods.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk to the Mars guys a little bit. So they're opening that. It's like a Polish-Korean fusion restaurant right next door to Maria's, right?
Okay.
They're going to have 24 taps in there. And then they Mars Brewing, actually, I didn't know this. They only have a six-barrel system, and it's not open to the public. It's maybe like 4 or 5 blocks from Maria's. But they just closed on a space a block from the Bridgeport Arts Center. It's going to be 60,000 square feet, and they're going to have a 30-barrel system in there.
That's a pretty good size for a new brewery like that.
Yeah, and they've got a collaboration and works with Against the Grain right now. So they're going big down in Bridgeport.
I always like Against the Grain. I'm like, I don't feel like I haven't had like a bad beer from them. They're all been good, but they're kind of like, I forget them sometimes. But I'm like, oh, I don't know, just because they're in Kentucky too. I'm like, just kind of don't think about them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, awesome. Should we jump into the stuff happening this week that people need to be checking out? There's some fun stuff as well as an event coming up here. I know the big one this weekend is Belgian Fest at Goose Island, Clybourne.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people talking about that event. I've heard good things.
Yeah.
What they're planning for it.
I don't think I've made it to Belgian Fest before. I've made it to Stout Fest. I know you've been to Stout Fest a couple times, Nick.
Stout Fest is pretty rad. I love Stout Fest. And then Goose Island is the kind of pub that you like, you know, it's the kind of pub you take, like, if you have kids, you take them. If you're grandparents, you take them. You know, it's that kind of pub. But then, so when they open up the whole thing, it's like this really cool house party. You know, They got these 5 different rooms there. It's a fun place.
Yeah, so I'll definitely be checking that out for a minute. That's on Sunday. It's probably sold out. You might want to check on that, but I feel like they usually sell up pretty quickly. And I know they have other beers usually besides just Belgian beers, because people do get kind of tired of, like, when there's like a style event. It's like, all right, I just need a IPA for a minute. Just break this up. Give me a cider. Give me something else.
And then we'll back up a little bit on Thursday, September 10th, at Villains in South Loop. Ballast Point is taking over Villains with their largest takeover ever in the Midwest. They're bringing 31 beers to this thing on tap.
Wow.
31 beer Ballast Point tap takeover.
How many beers?
31.
That's a lot of beer.
I didn't even know they had 31 taps.
I didn't know they had 31 different beers. How's that?
They
had a lot of awesome beer. I didn't know they had 31 different beers.
You know, it's probably just scoping grapefruit, scoping habanero, scoping this, scoping
that's
that.
That's 3 lines.
the Thai chili Wahoo. Yeah.
They've got a lot of different things.
They're bringing a Victory of Sea out.
Victory of Sea. I hope they bring Victory of Sea. You know,
10% coffee. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, it's so good. And then there's a Victory at Cereal where they took the Victory of Sea and put it in a firkin with Captain Crunch.
No way.
I'm serious.
That exists.
It was wacky, man. It was so good.
That's worth trying.
Yeah, so that's Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Have you been to the new Villains?
No, I have not. I haven't been to Villains since it closed. I took a hiatus for maybe like 8 months or something. Maybe a long
time. I think it was like 2 years hiatus. It was a long time. But it's basically right across the street from where the old one was. I drove by it recently and I was like, wow, it looked pretty nice in there, like open. The old one was kind of like almost like a dungeon kind of vibe, like more of like I guess mobster villain type thing, and This one's like a big open space, so looked nice in there
for sure. All right, we got an event on Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, September 12th at Millennium Park, there's a For the Love of Beer festival from Sam Adams. So Sam Adams is hosting, it looks like, two sessions, 1 to 4 p.m. and then 5 to 8 p.m. And they're going to have guest beers along with local bands, food, beer pairings, giveaways, interactive games, and more.
Okay. And more. I mean, I always love when there's and more.
There's got to be and more, man. You know.
Yeah. And, you know, strip poker.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a beer fest at Millennium Park.
No? Well, you've been to, like, this Sound of Sound or the Goose Island events where they do like this.
Yeah, and it's kind of them just kind of pouring beer for whatever concert's playing at Millennium.
Yeah.
And this is like a straight up beer fest at Millennium, which ought to be cool. All
right.
That's a $45 ticket on a Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
You gonna check that out, or you got beer bus?
Yeah, I'm probably brew bussing. I'll probably be at Belgian Fest though.
Okay. I'll be there for a minute, but then, you know, may head out to Three Floyds. Got a buddy getting married next week. So gotta take him out to Three Floyds. He hasn't been there yet. You know, do some stuff. I don't know.
You know. Stuff.
Some stuff, you know. We'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens. And then since we're at Whirly Ball and we want to talk about this great event you guys have coming up called Battle of the Breweries. And this is taking place on the courts.
On more than just the courts.
Multiple courts.
We're going beyond the courts, my friends. We're doing the Battle of the Breweries Oktoberfest edition. Every month we do a Beat the Brewer event, and this is our competition where we're inviting Revolution, Half Acre, Pipeworks, Lagunitas, Five Rabbit, and Goose Island all out for a friendly battling between Whirly Ball, laser tag, and some bowling.
Okay.
And in between each activity, as you're rotating, you'll also be drinking some beer. Naturally. And that said, you have the opportunity to actually play against the breweries. We're allowing only a select amount of teams to come in and play.
Okay.
There's going to be 18 teams in total. Six of the teams are going to be the breweries, and the other 12 are going to be the public.
Oh, nice.
So it's only $250 for your whole team of 10 to play, so $25 a person.
Oh, that's pretty good. What's it normally like?
It's usually $15 per half hour.
Okay.
Whirly ball or laser tag, like $10 an hour for bowling before you've even rented shoes. So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You're going to get to do a little whirly ball, a little laser tag, and bowling. And everyone doesn't have to play every activity. That's why it's great to have 10 players, and in case half the team wants to go drink beer while the other half plays in the tournament.
Okay.
Gives you some time, or say someone's running late, you don't have to worry. You got enough to get on the court.
Right, and you know, you got to be able to drink, Darren. You got to take a break, you know, put your subs in, have a beer.
And speaking of beer, I will say we've got some real unique beers. We're going to obviously have an Oktoberfest feature from each brewery. If it's their traditional Oktoberfest beer or it's their version of what they're calling their Oktoberfest beer. For example, our boys over at Pipeworks, instead of doing a traditional, they're doing Blood vs. Unicorn on a takeoff of Ninja vs. Unicorn off that series.
That's a great beer.
That's their Oktoberfest style with a little Halloween flair to it.
Okay.
And then we'll see things... Like, hey, man, there's a beverage here from them, which is their Russian Imperial Milk Stout. If you've ever watched The Big Lebowski, it's a tip to that. Might see some BCS show up. Might see some Death's Tar appear. May not. May see some brew pub action stuff from Revolution as well.
Oh, nice.
And then Five Rabbit's going to be bringing in the BA Ponche as their one-off is a unique one from them. So stay tuned, but more and more beers will start popping up for that event. And even if you don't want to play in the event, it's a real awesome chance to come in and drink some really awesome beers that you won't see every day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, just for the chance to, you know, drink some BCS or something like that, and not maybe wait in line for it.
Yeah, for sure. And then I love how you get to, like, you know, if you get a team together, you know, you pay $250, it ends up being like, I don't know, $25 a person or something like that. You get some awesome beer, but then you also get to, like, you know, play against the brewers and talk trash to them, you know, and beat them potentially, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they suck at least one of
these.
I'd be careful.
Some of these breweries have been playing and they've been practicing. Just so everyone just knows, there's a training video coming out. All the breweries came in last week and they had their formal training. And we'll be putting that video out probably later this week for everyone to see.
Gosh.
To learn more about the event, go to www.whirlyball.com/Chicago, and it'll take you to all the event details from there.
Okay. I think the main event I'd be worried about would be bowling, because I know they have their, like, bowling league the Brewers have, so I feel like they practice that quite a bit. I feel like taking them down in laser tag might be the easiest.
They did some laser tag drills last week.
Oh, man, they've been practicing.
I'm telling you, the breweries don't want to lose. They really want to make sure they make it to the last rounds. But, yeah, you're right. Laser tag might be a good opportunity for them to tackle it.
Right on, man. This is going to be a fun event, man.
So you're going to show up for some beers at least? You going to play?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think we should get a team together, man.
Get a team? A crew?
Yeah, we should get a crew, man. You know, get some ringers the way, you know, Revolution style.
Okay.
Get some ringers in all three and go for the juggler.
All right. So if you play professional whirly ball, send us a tweet @ Chicago Beer Pass. We will get back to you and, you know, see if you can work on our team here.
Yeah,
and
man.
You need to be able to drink.
Yeah, I don't think the brewer should have all the fun. I think we should get a team together. I think we should take these guys out. Oh, and then one thing I did notice about the bowling balls,
yeah,
is that they look like pool balls. They got the really, you know how pool balls all have that like that big bright color,
yeah,
with the big number on it. That's how the bowling balls look here.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah. And since bowling's a new thing here, they were able to like set it up and like do it right and do it different. And having another place to bowl is important because, you know,
Lincoln Lane's
burned down.
Unfortunate, man. That sucks, man. That's a classic bowling alley too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. While we're at it, man, let's talk about a little bit more news that's been going on lately, right? Little acquisitions going on around town, man.
All right. Who bought us? Who are we selling out to?
Chicago Beer Pass sold out to, no.
They got, if you want to pay us, we will continue doing this show and promote your beer or whatever.
And go to Puerto Rico for like a month. No. Well, friends at Goose Island, they bought Virtue Cider.
So I call bullshit on this.
Okay.
Because... So Goose Island is trying to spin this as they bought Virtue.
Right.
But that they have nothing. AB owns Goose Island.
AB has a controlling interest in Goose. That's true. Yeah.
They don't have a controlling interest. They could say we're going to change the name. They have no, like, yeah, they can't. Their money is Anheuser-Busch's money.
Yeah.
So they cannot buy somebody without AB buying someone, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, but the release says that Goose Island bought them.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, and to your point, I know that like Goose Island has two pubs, right? Wrigley
and Clybourne.
And Clybourne.
But those are outside of Anheuser-Busch. They were separate.
Right.
John Hall still owns those.
Right.
As part of the deal.
Right. So, and what I was going to say was, if they were to leave one of those pubs and move to another location, they can't call that location Goose Island. Because, to your point, AB owns the name Goose Island.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so AB bought Virtue, no matter how much they try to sell this to the public, that Goose Island, I think it's a softer sell, right?
Yeah.
Is that the thought?
Yeah.
But I think
definitely a PR spin.
I think it's hilarious that Greg Hall leaves, he gets Goose Island, or AB buys Greg Hall out of Goose Island.
For like 40 mil.
Right.
Yeah.
He leaves.
Yeah.
He, I'm sure under contract, cannot start another brewery and has always wanted to start a cidery and get Goose Island to do cider in the past. He leaves, start a cidery, and then AB buys him again. Like, what kind of like backroom deal was made like years ago when this happened? Like, oh, if this gets off the ground and you meet these milestones, we'll just buy you up. I think there's more to this story than we would ever know.
Yeah. And his yeah.
Conspiracy beer conspiracy here. I think.
Yeah. So there's
Anheuser-Busch doesn't have any cider companies, right?
Miller Coors, yeah.
So I think they're realizing that they needed a cider company. I think Virtue makes great cider, but I don't think it's the public cider that they needed. I think it's maybe
they're definitely not Angry Orchard with regards to volume. They're not Crispin, they're not Angry Orchard,
right? But they're very dry cider. They're like, they're not what you usually think of when you think of ciders. They're like sweeter and
yeah,
like,
they're almost like a farmhouse style, like English style ciders, right?
Which is you guys have to say,
yeah,
this,
what do you
Adam?
Think about this, Adam?
I was just going to weigh in that I think the palate's changing a little bit,
okay,
and people are liking the dry ciders and there's a demand for them now. I'm starting to see that more and more. I mean, people really like the sweet ciders, but I'll be honest, I think people are tired of the hangovers they're getting from those.
Okay.
All the sugar in there and tons and tons and tons and tons of it, it adds up. So a lot of wine drinkers are now converting over to cider drinkers because of the dryness that they find in a dry white wine.
So you think this was a smart purchase for AB?
I think it was a smart purchase that they need a cider.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it was the brewery of choice, but I guess when you know that Goose Island's a sure thing, well, why not go with the guy who brought you the first sure thing and go with another great cider?
Right. Like, I wonder why Virtue over Vandermill.
That's a great question. You might have to call AB.
Yeah. like what happened? I feel like Vandermill, they both make great ciders. I feel like Vandermill's has a wider portfolio of different things they do.
Sure.
Because they have a lot of different flavors and it's in cans already. Mm-hmm. It's like, people want ciders in cans. Like, that was, I think, the number one comment
cans
I saw.
Cans and ciders go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Everything in a can is better. I mean, not to jump over away from ciders, but even Pipeworks jumped into cans these days. So, I mean, I'm just getting on it in the sense that everybody's getting on the can wagon. So, got more power to them. Plus, everything stays better in a can anyway than a bottle.
So, I don't know. I think it'll be good for Virtue, and we'll probably see more Virtue cider, and it'll probably, you know, allow them to, you know, spend more money and get other apples and, you know, get things that they couldn't get before.
For sure. And then the big deal that went down this week, Lagunitas sold 50% of their company to Heineken International.
Right. That happened this morning, basically, right?
Yeah.
As of this recording.
Started our day.
Yeah.
You read Tony's blog post on this, right? I didn't read the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts after reading the...
I glanced at it. He was drawing similarities, and he was trying to make some clear points about, hey, you know how, well, you know, Heineken is a malt-forward beverage, and it doesn't have any adjuncts in it like rice. And then they're, even though they're a public company, most of the stock is owned by the family, you know, the same family who founded founded Heineken. How, like, the great-granddaughter is still, you know, the majority, like, shareholder and that kind of thing. And they're in the Netherlands, which isn't far from Amsterdam. So they vibe in a lot of ways. And this is like a cosmic.
Was that smoking weed? Like,
I'm just telling you what the post said. This is just I'm telling you what it said. And he's like, hey, you know, this is us about have. This is about us. And, you know, he's very cosmic, you know, very karmic, right? He's like, yeah, you know, the planet is our neighborhood, man. He's into that kind of thing. So it kind of makes sense for them. Right. And then, you know, if you talk to a lot of guys in Europe and in Belgium, man, like, you know, pay to play on a distributor side is like a big thing over there. And, you know, if they want to sell beer in Europe, this was the way they had to do it. So
sell half their company?
Sell half their company to a European-based company, yeah. So...
Well, why sell there, right? Like,
what's going to be the next craft brewery to join that party?
I would have guessed Bell's before.
Yeah,
but
I'm still guessing it's going to be Revolution. Yeah, I mean that's just a hunch. I think Revolution. I've been saying this for like a year.
Or do you think Revolution will just stay independent and be the unique brewery that doesn't sell out to another
Stone,
group.
The Stone, I guess.
That's a good way of explaining it. The Stone of Chicago. Yeah.
Because if you look at now, you're looking at the top three breweries in Chicago are probably Goose, Rev, and Lagunitas.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at two of the top three breweries in this town are owned by publicly traded companies.
That's big guys.
By globally publicly traded companies.
Well,
yeah.
Somebody was talking about Deschutes possibly selling. So.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big name
Duvel
as well.
Duvel picked up Firestone recently.
Right,
That's going to be an interesting duel. I'm excited to see what they come up with from a production standpoint. I think you'll see a lot of really cool things.
Uh-huh.
Given Firestone's ability and given the Belgian side from the Duvel gang, it'll or Oma gang as well, be just really cool to see what they come and put together.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting what's happening in the craft beer world and with all these big guys in the craft beer world and how they're getting kind of scooped up by the big ABs and, you know, Raise Holding and Heineken's of the world.
Sure. Do you think it's good for the whole thing or there's more money for these people? Like, is there more of a demand for the smaller guys to be able to rise up then because the bigger guys are maybe there's a group of people that don't want to support that?
I think it's an opportunity for the craft brewers to be put into the forefront of the public. It's a better way for all of us to drink more craft beer naturally if there's a better distribution chain. In the same token, it allows smaller breweries something to aspire if they want to grow to a point of being sold or... It's another opportunity for more expansion in the craft beer world.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, you're at a point now where you got these companies that started in the 90s, and it's like, hey, we're looking at a point where whether you're John Hall and you're 70 years old and, hey, I'm out, I want to sell for 40 mil, or if you're, like you said, Firestone Walker, I want to expand, or if you're founders, I want to sell to a part of my company to a Spanish brewery and expand. You're looking, do I want to sell completely? Do I want to expand? These companies that are approaching 15, 20 years old, they're looking at an exit, or they're looking at what's next, and this is, it's shades of gray now, you know, like...
Yeah, this I is think, where we are. We all like numb to it, like the news that Heineken happened? And we're it's kind
of
like.
I'm not going to stop drinking a little something, something. A lot of people are not going to stop buying BCS. You know, it is what it is now, I guess, right?
Okay. No. Fair enough. Well, I think that does it for this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. Adam, what are you excited about before we get out of here that you guys have on tap and coming up too as well? And like you were talking about fall season changing and these Oktoberfests you have on right now and like are coming up at the Battle of the Breweries and insight on what's coming besides there's a hint at the CBS hiding somewhere and
there is some really unique beers hiding somewhere in a dark closet with lots of locks on
this
it.
This place is too big.
It's really big. It's in a secret. It's got a fake door behind. Anyway, there's beer.
It's like
beer.
Some Scooby-Doo shit right here.
I don't even want to get into it. I need another beer before we talk about that. Specialties, I would say Southern Tier Pumpkin is coming on very, very, very soon. Okay. We have a very cool, unique sour on right now from New Belgium called Eric's Ale. It's part of their very small, limited release section that they do. And then we just finished S'more Money, S'more Problems from Pipeworks, which was an awesome beer for the summer end of summer. We've been doing graham cracker, marshmallow, and chocolate in a stout. So you can't really go wrong with that.
Nice. Very cool, yeah. I don't know. This isn't far from my house. Easily bikeable, so I have to come and see what you guys got on tap more often. For sure.
We're always rotating seasonally, so you're going to find the new Moody Tongues in a couple weeks when we rotate into the fall season. Have a bunch of Oktoberfest lagers coming on pretty soon for all the breweries that I mentioned earlier in the podcast that are coming in for the Oktoberfest party. So
yeah.
Probably in about another couple weeks, I'd say 2 to 3 weeks, all those beers will be full on. And
we were talking about in the pregame. We were talking about like a Ben and Jerry's like New Belgium collab.
So mark your calendars somewhere in the first week of November. New Belgium's going to be coming in with their collaboration Ben and Jerry's ice cream beer, and with the beer that's infused with the Ben and Jerry's flavors, we're also going to be having giant scoops of ice cream being piled into those beers while we're serving it.
Cool.
So come in. We'll stay tuned. We're going to have more exciting info on that for you.
Oh, that's fun. I just had it wasn't an ice cream beer, but it had I had a Kirin at Belly, Urban Belly, and they had like a Kirin topper, which is like Kirin foam. So it's basically more beer foam on your beer.
Like a dollop.
But, yeah, but it was fun. It was like, oh, I almost wish this was ice cream.
Right on.
So that's pretty cool. So is the tap list, do you have a tap list up on the website? Could people check that out or how can they find out what's on tap?
Yeah, you can jump on beermenus.com. We keep that updated pretty regularly. That's kind of our go-to for all of our draft list, bottle, can updates that we've got on a regular basis.
Very cool.
So stay tuned. We'll have new beers coming pretty soon.
Nice. And so, Nick, if people want to get in touch with you, you know, join our Whirlyball team, how can they reach out?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Our Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. We're sharing events there. Other things we don't get a chance to talk about here on the show. Sometimes people message us stuff late or we come across like, hey, this just got on tap. Go check it out. So be sure to like us up there or follow us up there and, you know, see what's happening. And then the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there, links to events we talk about, links to iTunes, you know, go on there, subscribe, leave a review. We love seeing those, helps more people, you know, listen to the show and drink Chicago beer, which is what we're trying to do here, drink local. And that'll do it for this week's episode.
Adam, man, this is a great establishment you got here, man. You guys need to come check out Whirlyball, man. It's 2 floors of fun, bowling, laser tag, Whirlyball, 32 drafts. Thank you for being on the show, man. This was fantastic.
Well, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for joining us at Whirlyball. Let me hand you guys a couple beers from Pipeworks to kind of wrap things up. This is their Halotau Blanc, so you guys can sip on this nice. After you guys wrap up. Thanks again for coming out, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.